helps me, okay? Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Amen. Just thank you so much for this time, for this opportunity to present your word, Father. We do it humbly, Father God. Father, we thank you so much, Father God, for your word. We'll this night, you will help me to speak your words as if I speak as a pen of a ready writer. And we give you glory for that, and we give you praise for that, Father. And we uphold our pastor and his wife, Father God, the pastors of this church. We thank you for your blessings to be upon them, and we thank you for giving them utterance. We thank you for meeting every need in their lives, Father. And we deem it a privilege to be in this house where your word prevails. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know exactly how I'm going to get to where I'm going, and don't know where I'm going exactly how I'm going to get there all the way. But I'm going to tell you what. We're going. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you enjoyed that word Sunday? Huh? Don't hold back. Amen. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Amen. Well, I was pondering that word and thinking about that word, and it was real to me because I'm going to tell you something that had happened to me Saturday prior to Sunday's visit of that brother here. I was in the house walking, and I heard the Lord say, I wasn't in the house, I was in the car riding. I can remember it clearly. I was in the car riding, going to get ready to go walk into somewhere. And I heard the Lord say this, my children are too passive. Do y'all know what passive means? Everybody know what passive means? Because I didn't. I had to look it up. I didn't know the fullness of it. But what it means, you sit back and you do nothing. When resistance comes your way, you sit back and you do nothing. You just let it happen. Well, the Lord don't want you and I to be passive. Amen? And when this brother's saying you need to be all in, we need to be all in, right? He didn't say that. He said, don't hold back. Now to the be all in. Yesterday in the mall with my sweet little wife, we've been running the roads a lot this week, got to run them tomorrow. We were in the mall yesterday, and she was going to buy me a sweet coffee at Barnes & Noble, and I like a coffee from there once in a while, amen. But as I was going in there, I heard the Spirit of God say something else, and it was this. Don't hold back, or here's what the other word was. Are you all in? And he reminded me of something. Do y'all remember that young man that was here that ministered first of the year from the church over in Charlotte? I don't know his name. But I didn't have recall of what he ministered. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, I could hear that guy's voice say, are you all in? You know, we used to play football, and he mentioned that too in this house that day. When we would get in the huddle and we had a bad situation, they would say, you know, I played in, and the quarterback would say, we all in on this, ain't we? You understand? We needed to get something done. Well, that brother came to this house, and he exhorted us by the Spirit of God to get all in. All right, the brother Sunday said, don't hold back, right? Lord said to me Saturday, we've been too passive, right? So we need to get in and stay in. And if you're in, that's fine. Stay in. Amen? Amen. Stay in. Don't hold back. Huh? Don't be passive. So in saying that, I want to go back to Psalms 37. We've been camping over here with Pastor on Wednesdays a lot. Go to Psalms 37 a second if you don't mind. And if they can, and put on the screen, I'd like for them to put verse 23 of Psalms 37 on the screen in the Amplified. Can we do that tonight? If not, I'm going to read it to you. Amen. Psalms 37, verse 23 in the Amplified Translation. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you because I've read this verse a lot, but I didn't see what I saw a couple of weeks back when Pastor was over here in Psalms 37. Look at this. The steps of a good man are directed and established by the Lord when he, the he there is the man, when he delights in his way and he busies himself with his every step. You and I, we don't need to hold back. We need to be all in. Amen. We have a part. I hear people quote this verse. Well, you know, my steps are ordered to the Lord. They are if you are busy. They are if you are delighting yourself in the things of God. Do y'all agree with that? Do you agree with that? You know, Jesus said if we hunger and thirst, we'll be filled. We have to hunger and thirst. Huh? It says if we draw nigh, He'll draw nigh to us, right? John 8, 31, 32 says if you continue in His Word, you go from being a convert to a disciple. Quote it. Jesus said to the Jews that believed on Him, if you continue in My Word, you'll be My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you have an if in your life to be all in, to don't hold back, to don't be passive, amen? You have a part to play in all this. I hear religious Christians, even in charismatic circles, quote verses of Scripture, and they don't realize you got a lot to play with it. I'm going to quote you another one. He is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You have a great deal to do with the degree of the power that's working in your life. Do y'all agree with that? Do you see where I'm getting at? Well, they'll quote that verse. He's able to do a billion dollars of that thing according to the power. But are they feeding on the Word? Are they putting the Word first place? Are they moving with the Spirit of God? Amen. Are you with me? Okay. Now, we're going to move a little bit. We're going to move to this. Paul said to the church at Corinth in the 3rd chapter, the 9th verse, he said, and I'm going to quote you the Amplified Translation, he said, you are God's garden, His field under cultivation. So you and I are the garden of God. We are the field of God. We're under cultivation. You know, if you do any farming or gardening, that means you're being worked on, right? Huh? And you got to have the right seed in the garden, right? You got to have the right kind of soil, don't you? Amen? You got to have the right kind of soil. Amen? So here's my question. What kind of soil or what kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? You know, Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the sower and the seed, but He's not talking about where we're going. We're going to Mark 4, where Jesus is talking about the four fields or the four types of soil, and that's the church. I got a mentor, Brother Yandy, and he's got some teaching on continuing in the Word. I keep going back and listening to it over and over and over again. Got like 7 teachings on it. I go back and listen because there's so much there, you don't get it the first time. You understand that, right? We don't get it the first time. We don't get it the second time. You with me? And, you know, I'm going to prove my point here, and I'm going back to Psalms 37. I can dip over there for a second. Okay, here's my question. How many of you been practicing fret not yourselves because of evildoers? Verse 3, how many of us are trusting, leaning on, and relying on, and confident in the Lord? Amen. Verse 4, how many of us are endeavoring to delight ourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart? Verse 5, how many of us are trying to commit our ways unto the Lord? That means roll over the wholeness of our life over to the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord. Each care, each load on Him. Trust, rely on Him, be confident. also in him that he will bring it to pass. Okay, there you go. We got verse 1, fret not. Verse 3, trust in. Verse 4, delight in. Verse 5, commit. Verse 6 says, when you do those, did you hear what I said? When you do those, he will make your uprightness and right standing with him go forth like light. Are you with me on what I'm saying? We have a part to play. You know, how many people are not being negative about the house here because this is a good house to sit in? That's why I'm here, because God sent me here because he said you'll flourish in that court. But let me say something to you. How many of you have thought about, pondered, and chewed on this stuff? You come to the house, the man of God gives you a word. You know, he talks on it, he stands on it, he preaches it, and he teaches it, he goes back to it. You know, it ought to dawn on us, we need to get over here and feed on this, right? Are you with me on that? See, it won't get in you unless you feed on it. You have to ponder it. You know, it says over in Philippians, it said things to think on. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things have praise, whatsoever things are full of virtue, have all it says, think on these things. The word think there means meditate on, mutter, roll over. I mean, you know, really, we need to feed on this. Pastor James and I was talking on the phone because, truthfully, when this gentleman kind of come in a surprise sort of kind of on Sunday, I said he had asked me to do Wednesday. I called him up in respect to his leadership. I said, you sure you want me to do Wednesday? Because this guy's done Sunday. He said, yeah, I want you to do it. I said, good, I got something because I got that word, you know, about not being passive. Amen. And it all fit with what the brother said. But Pastor James and I was talking on the phone. I said, Pastor, I said, we're living in a day that Psalms 37 needs to be part of our life. We're living in that day. Brothers and sisters, evildoers are getting worse and worse. We don't need to fret. If there ever was a time we needed to trust, it's now. If there ever was a time we needed to find our delight in God, it's now. Huh? It's just a different day. It's just a different time. And if you know things about the epistles of the church, every time it talks about the end of days, there's an exhortation for you and I to get close. Did you hear what I said? To get close. To draw near. To get close. My favorite verse, I quoted a lot from up here, but it's part of what I live. The Bible says, walk circumspect, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Circumspect means closest walk. Walk close. God's calling us to get close. God's saying Sunday, don't hold back. God's saying with that other brother from the main church, huh? Get all in. My question to you and I, are we all in? Are we all in? Are we there? Amen? Amen. You with me? Now we're going to go somewhere. Let's go to Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about the four grounds that's in the church. This is four kinds of soil that sits in the house. Amen? Where are you? You know, I heard that, brother. I went back. I did what the pastor said. The pastor told us Sunday afternoon when the gentleman quit. He said, go back and listen to that stuff. I went back. I listened to it again. And listened to the brother. And one thing the brother said, that there was good soil here. I believe there is some good soil here. But guess what? Boy, yeah. Guess what? My mom and dad used to have a garden. But you had to keep that garden right. You had to keep that soil turned over, didn't you? You had to keep that soil watered, didn't you? You had to keep that garden weeded out, didn't you? Amen? Amen. You have to. You have to stay with it. You have to stay with it. Okay, we're in Mark 4 for a minute, for a while. And I wrote this down, so let me just read you my notes before we go there. Are you hard ground? Are you rocky ground? Are you ground with weeds and thorns? Or are you good ground? What kind of ground are you? Go back, 1 Corinthians 3. You are God's creation. You're God's ground. You're His garden. What kind of ground are you? What kind of ground are you? My mentor was teaching out of I said, that is a profound statement. I've never read it. And we're going to jump right there to start with, then we're going to probably go back. And my brother, my mentor said this, and I'm going to go all the way down to 24. Let's read 23 first. 4:23 of Mark. This is amplified. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. Verse 24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Now I'm going to stop there. If you go to Luke's account of it, it says be careful of, it says here what you're hearing, it says how you are hearing. My question to us, how are we hearing the Word? Are we careful what we're hearing outside of the house of God? Amen. The Lord spoke this to me long ago, and I taught it one with these Saturday meetings. You know, you are the keeper of the gate. You're the keeper of the eye gate, the ear gate, and this thing here. You are the keeper of that gate. So what's coming out your mouth? Huh? Be careful of what you're hearing. What are you listening to? You know, this is me talking. I can't watch the news like I used to watch the news because there's so much stuff. And it aggravates my soulish man. So I watch enough to kind of keep up a hair, and then I cut it off. I don't watch it. You know, I give this story all the time, but it's true. Smith Wigglesworth at the Bordeaux in Fayetteville, 1983. Not Smith Wigglesworth, but Lester Sumrall, speaking of Smith Wigglesworth, told us at the Bordeaux, 1983, in Fayetteville, he said he was with Brother Smith Wigglesworth, who came to one of his meetings when he was in England, and Brother Lester Sumrall said, Brother Wigglesworth said, come see me. Brother Sumrall said when he found out who to me was, it was Brother Wigglesworth. He knew he was a man of God of great fame, you could say. A man that was truly walking with God. Raised people from the dead. Brother Sumrall told us in Fayetteville, 1983 at the Bordeaux, he said this. I heard him with my own ears. Seen him with my own eyes as he said it. He said, I went to Smith Wigglesworth's house that morning. He told me to come the next day. I knocked on the door that morning. He said, I had my London Times newspaper under my right arm. I had my little hat, and he said, I had my little umbrella. And he said, I looked real English. And he said, I knocked on the door, Brother Wigglesworth's door. He come to the door, he cracked the door open. He said, all of a sudden, he looked sleepy-eyed to start with, and he saw that newspaper under my arm. And this is what Brother Sumrall told us at the Bordeaux and Fayetteville, 1983. He said, Wigglesworth took his right finger and pointed at that newspaper in his arm. He said, don't bring those lies into my house. Do you know what he was saying, right? Huh? He was saying the Word is the truth. Now that'll fit with something I got praying over here. When did we meet to pray? We prayed on... what was that, Monday? Was it Monday, Tuesday? Whenever our first time we meet, the first time I was here this week praying, I was walking and praying. I said, Lord, and it kept coming out, your Word is the truth in the matter. You ever hear people say the truth of the matter? You know, the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is that. His Word is the truth of the matter, brothers and sisters. This Word right here is the truth of the matter. And getting back to Brother Sumrall telling us what Wigglesworth, what he was saying, it's the Word that I live by. And it was pretty perilous times back then in England, if you go back and study the history thereof. He said, don't bring them lies into my house. Huh? Well, brother, that's kind of way out there. No, it ain't. Not today. You know, Paul told us, speaking to Timothy, we have a letter he wrote him. He said in the end of days, he said, these times will be hard to bear, hard to deal with, and they will set in. That's what he said. Brothers and sisters, we are there. I'm going to go ahead and tell us all. We know it. We all should know it. it ain't going to get no better in the natural. Did you hear what I said? I'd love for it to get back to when it was. I got a 69 SS. I'd love for it to get back the way it was. But in 69, there was people in Vietnam getting killed, right, William? There were people in the military. But I'd love to see some of this stuff get back. But it ain't going to get no better. Huh? The Bible says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Huh? The Bible says darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness to people. But the glory will come upon us. Amen. It's not going to get no better in the natural. We want it to be. I got grandchildren. I got children. But in the natural, if you know what prophecy says, not because God wants it to happen, but because of His foreknowledge, He knew it was going to happen, all the countries of the world are going to turn against Israel. All of them. All the countries are going to come together in universal communism where Antichrist will rule. That will happen. We see those things coming into light in this nation. That's why some of the mess is going on. That's why the border's being flooded. They're trying to get us in this unified situation so we'll fit in with the rest of them. Amen? But we're the church. We're the church. Now, I'm going to deviate from where I was. We're the church. We're the church. I said this at the prayer time we had this Monday. The Monday it was. The Mondays that we meet once a month. I said this because Brother Paul asked me to close it out. I shared with the people something the Lord said to me at Southwood. And I need to say it because it needs to happen. I'm going to tell you what the Lord said. The Lord said He desired the cry of the church to muffle the cry that is in the sin of this land. Did you hear me? God desires the cry of the church to muffle the cry of the sin that is in the land. See, sin has a cry. God said to those with Abraham, when they went to see Abraham, well, let's go see if the sin cry of Sodom is as bad as it sounds, a cry of sin. God heard Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt. It says God heard the cry of His people in Egypt. So see, there's a cry of sin, and then there's a cry of God's people. God desires that the cry of the church muffles the cry of the sin that's in the land. Okay, no offense. All of you in this room are responsible for causing that cry to get louder. Your cry. God's going to hold you and I accountable in a measure for what happens in this land. Amen. My mentor in a book called Art of Prayer that he changed from the Art of Intercession because it went warped. One of my mentors, Dad Hagin, said this. He said the Lord told him about Watergate. He said, when Richard Nixon comes before me, he says, I'm not going to get on Nixon like I'm going to get on my people. Where was my people praying? Huh? Huh? Listen, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, I know this. God wants our cry to muffle the cry of the sin. It's our responsibility to do it. It's our call to do it. Amen? We can push back this junk in a measure. We can do it. We can believe God that good things in the things of the Spirit of God is going to happen. Because the Word declares it. One of the founding verses of this church is darkness covering the earth, gross darkness to people, but the glory being seen on the church. See, we can push it back. We can push it back. We can push back darkness if we'll pray. If we'll pray. You all in this room, don't get mad with me. You're all called to pray. And now you're called to pray like never before. God wants your cry to muffle the cry of the sin in the land. I hear those who know more than me in the things of the Spirit of God say this. Our nation exemplifies the condition of our church in our land. That went over hard, but it's true. Our nation exemplifies the condition of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this land. Amen? Think about that. Think about what I said my mentor said. You don't have to believe it, but I believe it. My mentor said, when Mr. Nixon gets up there about Watergate, I got it in the book, I remember, I'll never forget it. He said, the Lord told him, he said, I'm going to hold the church more responsible than Mr. Nixon. He said, but what's the church doing? He said, I've called the church to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Are you with me? Now, you ought to know. If you know anything about the prompting of the Spirit of God in your life, you ought to know God's pulling on you to pray more. I'm just saying, and you ought to know that the Spirit of God, if you pray in the Holy Ghost in other tongues, the Spirit of God saying, pray more in tongues more than you ever have, son. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Because you're praying out the plan and purpose and the will and desire of God. You're praying better than you can understand with your own understanding. Because He knows the whole program. It helps you pray better than you know how to pray. It helps you pray as it says you ought to pray. Amen? So, I exhort you. I deviated a little bit. I needed to. We need to be praying, folks. It's crazy times. We need to be praying. God will bless us in the middle of the stuff. But He wants us praying and standing. For the lost, number one. The main reason we're here is for the lost. But also for the presence of God to be made manifest. That we will get a reprieve in our land. A reprieve from the judgment and all this hitting the land. We'll get a reprieve. God desires for us to be an example of Jesus Christ. Amen? But we need to be busy. Amen? Are you with me? So I just exhort you. Remember this. He wants your cry to muffle the cry of the sin in the land. See, the cry of Sodom came up before God. He said, let's go see if that cry is as loud as it sounds. That was the cry of sin. See, sin cries out. And then God's people cry out. He wants your cry to go above and beyond and above the cries of the sin in the land. Quite frankly, it probably hadn't been doing it as much as it ought to. I know it hasn't. Amen. Remember that. I've hit that another time up here, so God, I just know where the Lord's taking me with it. Okay, here we are. We're in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, 24. And He said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth. You hear. The measure of thought and study you give of the truth you hear will be measured of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Okay, and we've talked about this before. I just thought about that up here. What's He talking about there? Can you put that verse... And I've done it before from here. We're going to do it again. Can you put 25 back up there? Make it 24 and 25 in the New King James. Let's do that one. Mark 4:24 in the New King James. Then He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given to you. Next verse, 25. Well, whosoever has, to him will more be given, but whosoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Okay. Well, whosoever has what? He's talking about a hearing ear. If you have a hearing ear, to him more will be given. But to who does not have a hearing ear, even that what he has will be taken. Let that sink in. God will give you more God will give you more. He'll give you more. He'll give you more if you're busy about His business. But those that are sitting around with nothing, even what they have is going to be taken away. Now, the Lord's not going to take it. The devil's going to take it. Amen. 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 So let's go here. Let's look. I'm going to back up. Four. Give attention. Okay. 4:3. Give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed of the same kind fell on the ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up, and because it had no soil or depth of soil. And here you go, verse 6. And when the sun came up, it was scorned, and because it had not taken root, it was withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorns, plants, and thistles, grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated and yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted soil, brought forth grain growing up and increasing and yielding up to 30 times, some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said, consider and comprehend. And then they went on, seeing they asked him, they said, what are you talking about? And Jesus goes down, I'm skipping on down, and he says, let's read verse 14 of 4. The sower sows the word, the one along the path, that those who have the word sown into their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the measure which is sown into them. In other words, that soil is rocky soil, hard soil. It's hard soil. It's just top ground. And in the same way, the ones sown among stony grounds are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept the word, and at once receive, they welcome it with joy, and they have no real root. In other words, they've got rocks. The root system's going down, but there's rocks that need to be pulled out. Amen? So it don't take real good root. And so they endure for a while. When trouble comes, the persecution arises for account of the word, they immediately are offended because displeased, ignorant, and resentful, and they stumble, fall away. And the one sown among the thorns are others who hear the word, and the cares and anxieties of the world, destructions of the age, and the pleasure and delight and false glamour, deceitfulness of riches, and craving for passionate desires and other things creep in, choke, and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now this is the kind of ground we need to be. And those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it with and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100. Amen. And then verse 23 says this. I'm skipping down. If anyone has ears to hear, let him, and it says in the Greek, keep hearing. God wants you to keep hearing. You can't get it hearing it one time. Are you with me? You got to keep hearing. You got to keep hearing. See, the word says faith comes by hearing and hearing. You got to keep hearing the word. You got to keep planting the word. Amen. Amen. And then it goes on down and it says, for him who has will more be given, 25, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. Listen, let me read it again. For him who has what? Has hearing ears, will more be given. From him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. See, the devil will steal the word. But if you're faithful and you keep pressing with the word, you're going to get more. Amen? You're going to receive more. You're going to be able to adapt to your situations of life more. Amen? God wants us to have good ground. If there ever was a time you and I had to have good ground, need to have good ground, it's now, brothers and sisters. There's a lot of junk going on, brothers and sisters. You know that. Amen? And we're to do our part. And part of our part is making sure we got good ground to receive the Word of God. And then feed upon the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Water the Word of God in your life. Chew it. Roll it over. It'll produce life to you if you'll take the time. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to talk about something that I got a while ago at the house early. The brother talked about David Sunday. And he talked about Uzzah. Remember that story? Uzzah touching the cart. And when Uzzah touched the cart, he fell dead. David desired to see the presence of God come back into the house. Didn't he? Sure did. He heard about it. He said, I got to go get that thing. So he went. But listen to what he did, brothers and sisters. David got a new cart. He put the ark on a new cart. That's what the Philistines did. And David did what they did to bring the cart to the city of David. And it rocked. And Uzzah touched it. And he fell dead. You know the story, right? Fell dead. Said David was disheartened. Man, that's it. I'm out of here. He backs off. Well, the cart's at a place, a guy's house called Obi-Edom. David gets word three months after, because for 3 months that ark stayed at Obi-Edom's. David gets word that Obi-Edom's house is blessed because of the presence of God there. The ark's there. This time, I got time. Yeah, let's go to 1 Chronicles 15. I want to read it to you. This time David did it a little different. And I'll show you my point why I'm trying to say this right now. Verse 1 of 1 Chronicles 15, David made for himself houses for the city of David. He prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent. Then David said, none should carry the ark but the Levites, for the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God to minister to him forever. Okay? Skipping on down in the verse 12. And David went on and he said to them, you are the heads of the father's house of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both you and your brothers, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel, to the place that I have prepared for it. For because you bore it not as God directed at first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us because we did not seek him in a way to obtain. Amen. Getting to my point. Getting back to God wants you to have fertile soil. He wants you to have good ground. He wants you to cultivate your heart to receive the Word. He wants you to feed upon the Word. Getting to my point. He wants us to be able to carry His presence where it needs to go. Are you with me? You know, David wanted the ark. It was his heart's desire to get that presence back. But he went about it the wrong way, did he not? He put it on a cart. He wasn't supposed to. He went back. In the 3 months' time, he went back into Numbers and he read and he studied and he found out, say, hey, look, this is the way, this is the wrong way. He said, those little hooks, that's where you stick that long pole and two at front and two at back, tote that ark. The priests do, and they have to be sanctified to do it. Getting to my point, brothers and sisters, God wants to do great, mighty things in the house, in this house. Amen? He wants to manifest His glory in this house. He wants you to walk in His blessings in your own house. You know that. But you have to do it His way. Huh? Too many people today want the blessings of God, but they don't want to walk in the line that the Father has for them to walk in. You know, it says in Isaiah, it says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll walk. I mean, you'll what? If you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. Eating the good of the land ain't just chowing on some grub and having plenty. Eating the good of the land is having the blessings of God in every part of your redemption in this life that He desires for you. Amen? And it's up to us to find His place and His point for us to move into that position that we can carry His presence. He's calling us to carry His presence. Amen? You know, the last time I ministered, I brought this point up, and it's true. David had that tabernacle, that tent tabernacle going with the ark in there when he got it there, when he got it to the city of David. But at the same time, David had that other tabernacle going too, the tabernacle of all the Levitical stuff they were doing. In other words, point being, that's how you get, and we said this the last time we were talking about the glory. That's how you get the glory that was seen in Solomon's temple. When you got all this other stuff going, and you got what David knew about how God wanted to be intimate with us. You know, the Bible says that David would go into that temple and just worship God. You know, like this. But in that other temple, they were doing all that sacrifice and doing all that stuff. Meaning what, Tony? What do you see? What we see and what God intended for us to see is that God wants you to have the whole spectrum of His life in your life. Amen? Too many Christians want to live the way they want to live and come to the house on Sunday and experience the presence of God. And it don't work. You don't have the manifestation of the presence of God that He desires. You just don't have it. And He's calling us to get close. He's calling us to get close because He's told us, and He don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen. Darkness is going to get worse. Persecution is going to get stronger. Huh? Junk's going to be happening more. But we can live in that secret place, can we not? Huh? We can live in that house, the secret place. And He's calling us to do that. And He's calling us in this house to do that. Amen? Amen. So, I'm getting ready to close. But I want us to do something. I want, if you will, don't you just stand and just give God worship a minute. Father, we just thank You. We just praise You, Father. We thank You for Your word, Father. Father, we desire, Father God, to be those, Father God, those who have good soil of Your word, Father God, so You can bring increase. Father, You said to those that had a hearing ear, more would be given to them. And those that have not a hearing ear, even that what they have will be taken. That is the whole scope of that verse, Father, in Mark 4. Is Father, is for us, Father God, to maintain a hearing ear of Your word so You can give us more blessings, more of Your desires for our life. So Father, help us to have a hearing ear to hear more, but a doing heart to do more. We pray that in Jesus' name, Father God. We thank You that You work with us, Father God, to help us, Father God, go from one degree of glory to the next, Father God. We thank You for doing it, Father. We bless You for doing it, Father God. We honor You for doing it, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You know, I just prayed something out that I heard my mentor say, and it was profound. He said that verse that said, he that has will get more, and he has not even that what he means. He said, what's the have there? He said, it's a hearing ear. If you got a hearing ear, you're going to get more. If you don't have a hearing ear, what you got, you're going to lose. The devil will see to it. So you need to just chew on that daily. Lord, I want to have a hearing ear to hear Your word. I want to spend time in Your presence so more of your virtue, more of your blessings can come into my life. I don't want to be one that doesn't have a here and ear and lose what I already have. Because brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ, there is regression. You know what regression is? In the Hebrew letter it says this, you have become one that needs again to have milk. Yeah, they regressed. Instead of having strong meat like they could have, he said, once again you need the milk because you've regressed. God don't want us to regress. He wants us to go from one degree of glory to the next. Amen? Are y'all with me on that? Amen. So purpose in your heart that you're going to grow by feeding on the Word of God, by pondering the Word of God. You know, I made this statement. I used to ask my family, and I've said it before from here, but it's relevant here. I used to leave church and I said, what did the pastor say today? One of the kids would say something, another one would say something, and I don't know if Sissy would ask. I'd even asked her because I was scared. But anyway, you would say, what did the man of God say today? Are you with me? What did the man of God say today? Now, here's my question. When you hear the Word of God in this house, are you putting it in good ground? Are you meditating on it? Are you pondering? You know, Paul said this. Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave increase. In other words, Paul planted the Word. Apollos was a teacher. He watered the Word, and God brought increase. My question for us should be, are we holding the Word of God as a precious thing to us? Are we good soul? Are we bearing 30, 60, and 100 fold? Or are we the soul because of the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, choking that Word? Are you living a lifestyle to the point that in tomorrow you'll be so caught up that you go, I can't remember what the brother or sister said tonight. You know? God wants us to take His Word and hide it in our heart so we won't sin against Him. He wants us to hide that Word. Proverbs 4 says, my son, attend unto my Word. Attend unto my Word. Keep a steadfast look upon my Word. Enshrine it in your heart. Because my Word is what? Life to those that find it, and health to all their flesh. My exhortation to this house tonight and those on the live screen. First of all, what are you doing with the Word of God now? Of all times, we need the Word. We're living in crazy days, folks. We need to feed on the Word. Like getting back to what the brother said, what Wigglesworth said to Brother Summerall. Don't let them lies come into my house, because Brother Wigglesworth knew the strength of the Word of God. Are you with me? Huh? And like when we were praying this week, I never said it before. I said, your Word is the truth in the matter. What's your matter? What you dealing with? God's Word is the truth of that matter. If you know the Word, put the Word into play in your situation. The Lord said this to me a long time ago. He said, son, the anointing in your life, if you'll let me, will propel you out of your dilemmas. It will propel you out of your dilemmas. Amen. Amen. So I exhort you. Say this with me. Thank you, Father, for your holy Word. It does not change. It is alive and quick. It is powerful. It is the only thing will divide my soul from my spirit, and my spirit from my soul. Because my spirit is your candle. Your Word declares that my spirit is your candle, and you lead me by that candle. And that's the truth. Amen. Y'all believe God? Let's just thank God for it. Father, we just thank you for this night, that we'll be a doer of your Word, that we'll take your Word and we will endeavor to plant that Word, Father God, on good soil.